A great business needs a stunning website. And with Wix.com, you can do it all by yourself. Wix.com makes it easy to look amazing online, no matter what type of business you're in. Show off your images in a beautiful gallery. Grow your contact list and get all your social media in one place, just the way you want. Your customers are going to love it. So, what are you waiting for? Show the world what you can do. Go to Wix.com and create your stunning website today. It's easy and free.
Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's a man who will not be attending any wing-eating contest this summer at the Jersey Shore. I'm Rob Cisternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to our Sunday night edition of Rob Has a Podcast, as we got to see so many of the fireworks that went off following that live eviction this past Thursday night, and very excited to talk about that and much more from the weekend on the live feeds with the great Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
Oh, what's up? What's the issue?
What's up?
What's up? What's the issue?
What's up? I asked you what's up because this is the start of the show.
Yeah, so what's the issue?
Yeah. Well, it's the start of the show, and I ask you what's up because that's what I need to ask you.
Well, I just don't, I like, what's up? Like, I don't, what's up?
You just seem like you're on the show. You're waiting for me to ask you a question to start it. So I'm just asking you, what's up?
I'm, you know what? I'm a free agent. I'm going to other podcasts.
Whoa. Taryn. Okay. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Yes. Good to have you here to talk about everything from, I was very concerned on Thursday it was going to be a boring week. And that is not, you know, rarely should I ever think something is going to get boring with a Rousseau in the house.
Yes, definitely. Tiffany does not want to go out quietly.
No, she will not go quietly into the night, much like the planet Earth during the first attack from the aliens in Independence Day. So they will not go down without a fight. And so a lot to talk about on a pretty eventful Sunday night episode of Big Brother. A lot of times we get a lot of wacky stuff on a Sunday night, but no, a lot of drama, a lot of intrigue. And of course, we get the nominees plus the roadkill and set up for an interesting week of Big Brother, and excited to talk about it here with you live on a Sunday night. We have our hashtag RHAP. Alex Kidwell is manning the Twitter feeds right now to try to find the best questions for later on in the show. Plus, we're taking the questions from our YouTube page at robhaswebsite.com/YouTube. Okay, so let's jump right into everything. And Taryn, I really was getting a little lost in everything that was going on in terms of the Frank Vanessa Devon of it all. So
Frank Vanessa Devon.
I'm sorry. What am I, Pauly? The Frank and Tiffany and Devon of it all. So we had this whole big blow up that happened where first it was Tiffany went to Frank and said, "Hey, I was just gunning for you because you were gunning for me. Hey, I never said that. Devon told me you were gunning for me." So let's just back this all up a step so I can really get to understand everything that's happening. Okay. So who fired the first shot here? Was Tiffany gunning for Frank? Was Frank gunning for Tiffany? And did Devon make anything up in recounting the tale for both sides?
Devon never really made anything up, but she stoked the fire a lot. So Frank and Tiffany had a small little, tiff, so to speak, in one of the early nights where he made an aggressive joke, as Frank does, and Tiffany got kind of upset, and he apologized. They kind of made up, but then they had another fight when Frank told Natalie about the Jose blindside, and Tiffany was not happy about that. Tiffany said, "You shouldn't have done that. You should have consulted us first." And then they got into that argument that we've seen in a flashback on one of the episodes. And that was one of the bigger fights that they had. And from that point on, it just Day really stoked the fires. She was told, Frank's talking about how he doesn't trust you anymore. Tiffany's talking about how she doesn't like you. And then eventually it got to a point where Devon got Tiffany to say, I want Frank to go out pre-jury. And then Tiffany again came up to her, as we saw in this episode, saying that I've got these girls, they're willing to go after Frank. And then Devon went to Frank and said, oh, look at what Tiffany's doing. And then Frank was like, oh, now I want Tiffany out. And then they went back to Tiffany and said, hey, Frank wants you out, like continuing to stoke the fires in both directions until they were fully at war.
Yeah. So this was mostly a bad plan from Devon, right?
Oh, definitely. This is par for the course. Devon has been doing this stuff all over the place. This is the one that just happened to blow up. And we've been talking about how she's just way too all over the place and that something's going to blow up eventually. And here we are.
I think that she was especially bad in that conversation with Frank tonight, where Frank and says, hey, let's try to work together. And then Frank's asking, okay, who are the votes? And she won't tell Frank anything. She's like, I can't tell you that. Why on earth would Frank work with her when she can't even tell him who voted and, you know, she's still lying about everything? I mean, if she really wants to smooth things over with Frank, doesn't she have to at least appear to be working with him?
Exactly. Like, the whole point was to smooth things over and to act like, you know, they should build trust. He was asking her, who voted for me? And she laughed and said, I don't know. I can't tell you. And like, obviously withholding information from him, and then immediately says, from here on out, we need to start building trust. And it's just like, how can you do that if you're not trusting him to tell him this information?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really feels like that maybe there was a chance to win Frank back over, but she really was not very convincing in that. And I think that it's just like the whole circumstance tonight where there was so much weird play going on from everybody. I really feel like that Frank has come back to the pack a bit, where everybody seemed like they were against him. And I feel like that Frank's game, like, I find myself now I'm rooting for Frank again, Taryn.
I told you he lived long enough and now he's become the underdog hero. This is Frank's spot. This is where he shines. If he's in charge, he's insufferable. But when he's the underdog, he's scrappy and he's going to fight every angle. And we love to see that in underdogs. And so this is where he works.
Now, tell me what your perception has been here of Tiffany, because I feel like that the edit was kind of, I saw people saying like, okay, well, the edit wants us to feel bad for Tiffany, but then it seemed like she was flying off the handle about certain things. We saw Devon laughing at her, and I wasn't sure if this was, do we not like Devon because she's laughing at Tiffany in her moment of weakness? But Tiffany really was all over the place. So what's your feeling on Tiffany? Are you sympathetic to everything she's going through, or do you feel like that she has really created this whole firestorm with her own actions?
I felt bad for Tiffany. I think that a large part of this whole witch hunt against her is because of her sister, and there's really not a lot that she can do to avoid that. You know, just her mannerisms, her personality, she looks so much like her sister. You know, it's like nobody else came into this game having to act completely not like themselves in order to avoid this kind of level of suspicion being put upon them. So I really can't fault her too much for everything that's happened, because a large part of it is because of the whole sister connection. That said, she hasn't done herself a whole lot of favors, with the crying, with acting like Vanessa. But again, if that's her personality, that's a huge disadvantage to come in with.
Yeah. We had said, both of us, that we really liked how she played last week, where part of it was, you know, really thinking that she was safe the whole week, which really caused her to not be paranoid, not be aggressive, and really be able to slow play the week. But right now, from the jump here in week 4 or week 5, however you want to call it, as soon as people start walking out of the room, you know, she just is, the switch flips. And she can't take it, and she's on the verge of this breakdown, which leads her to then get into the fight with Frank, and then ultimately, you know, have that episode where she's talking with Natalie, and then ultimately talking with Frank and starts spilling the beans on everybody. Taryn, do you feel like was this the wrong way for her to go? If she was able to keep her calm, stay calm, cool, and collective, as they say, could she have potentially been able to avoid the group that voted to save her wanting to keep her this week?
Probably not, right? Pauly, immediately after he won HOH, was like, I want Tiffany out. She is her sister. I don't care what she says. I don't want to hear anything about she's going to go after Frank. I don't want to hear anything about anything. She's just gone. So when you face that level of like certainty where it's just like everyone is just dead set against you to begin with, you might as well throw everything you have up against the wall and see what sticks. I don't think she went about it in a good way. I think that she was very obvious. She was very, very spiteful in the way that she talked to Nicole and Zakiya and Devon, which was just not a good idea. You know, throwing out potential votes left and right. But again, you know, she has to try anything that she can. So, I think that this was probably the right way to go at this moment. It's kind of like the Mitch from Big Brother Canada 3 strategy, where it's just like, I've got to try everything I have in my arsenal.
Okay. And Taryn, as your hero, Mitch was on Big Brother Canada 4.
Oh,
we're going to get emails on that. But that, so
he might as well have been on Big Brother Canada 3, given the twist situation.
All right. But that being said, is it just Pauly that feels this way about Tiffany and everybody else is sort of like unsure about what Pauly is going to do with his HOH? So everybody sort of falls in line, or is there a lot of sentiment in the house of, hey, we saved her, and what were we thinking? She's Vanessa.
That was exactly the sentiment. Like, we saved her, and how ungrateful she is that she's not like at our feet saying, thank you, thank you. They were very much like, how dare she talk to Frank in any way? She is totally her sister. At one point later in the night when she said, I'm a free agent, James was like, oh, that's what Vanessa said. That's what Vanessa said. So yeah, they're definitely all kind of going along with this idea that she is her sister, but they weren't thinking that last week. It's really just Pauly has been pushing it so hard, and to the extent where it doesn't even exist. You know, we kind of mentioned this on the Friday podcast, but he talked about moves that Vanessa made that weren't even close to Vanessa's gameplay. Just like saying that, oh, this is what Tiffany's going to do because this is what Vanessa did, when Vanessa didn't even do it in the first place. So it really gets a little bit out of hand.
Yeah. So then we had the big scene where Tiffany goes and starts to work with Frank, and very, very interesting pairing, which could potentially cause some chaos. And really, that's what I'm ultimately always rooting for in the Big Brother house is to get some good drama and some good chaos out of everything. But I wonder if it maybe could potentially be a week too late for all of this to happen. So, well, first off, Taryn, were you pumped up to see the Frank and Vanessa thing?
You keep calling her Vanessa.
Sorry, the Tiffany, Frank Tiffany thing. Sorry. Now Pauly's in my head.
Nothing personal. There's just a lot of similarities to your game and your sister's. That's a dangerous person to have in this game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was totally pumped. You know, I'm not a Frank fan, but you know, I'm definitely a, like, hey, let's shake up the game. Let's add as much variance as possible, fan. So, I like seeing this information get out there. I want to see people have to make some moves. And, you know, it really, they were asking for it. The way that they went about it this week, Pauly and Devon and all of them, the way that they immediately treated Tiffany after this vote and before the vote, telling her at the last second, like, oh, now you're safe. Like, it told Tiffany everything that she needed to know, and she has so much dirt on them. Why are you not using kitty gloves with her? Obviously, she's going to spill everything that she has, and she did. And that's what makes the game great, is because you can see, you know, crazy stuff like this happen.
Okay. So now that Tiffany and Frank are potentially going to be working together, do you feel, does Frank trust Tiffany? How much is this just for tattling, and how much is it that they really have each other's back?
I don't think Frank really has Tiffany's back, nor do I think Tiffany really has Frank's back. This is probably kind of like the Dan, although Frank did kind of have Dan's back. But maybe he's learned better, right? And so he's not completely on board with Tiffany. But yeah, Frank talked about for a little while after this, like, can I really not trust Nicole and Corey? And then even longer after that, he was like still believing Pauly over Tiffany. And so I think he's kind of come around to it, but For the most part, he's still looking at outside sources. He's still not a huge fan of Tiffany, personally.
Now, tell me if you can't answer this until we get to talking about the live feeds, but it feels like, okay, Tiffany reveals everything to Frank, but I feel like we haven't had the fallout where Frank confronts Pauly and Nicole and people, Corey, and says like, hey, WTF, why are you guys trying to get me out of the house?
Yeah, it didn't really happen before the nominations.
Okay.
So,
all right. Yeah. So, all right. Good. I want to talk about that. All right. I really love the scene with Tiffany and Nicole then. Again, this is where they were in the have not room. And, Nicole's like, hey, so what happened? And then she's just like, you're trying to vote me out. That's what, so you're talking to Frank. So what was that about? like now you want to talk?
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's like, just, you could feel the frustration that Tiffany was having, where it's like none of you are treating me well at all, but you're like, you just flipped the vote last second. You don't care about me. You were currently just planning on getting me out of the house, and I'm saying that you're doing it, and you're still denying it to my face. And it's just like, it's very strange.
Yeah. All right. So lots of great drama from everything that went on Thursday night into Friday. And so then that set up the roadkill, which we did not know how that was going to go down when we did our live feed update on Friday. And so it turns out that Tiffany is the winner of the roadkill. But first, can I complain about this roadkill competition here for a moment, Taryn?
Well, no, you can't complain, but I guess you have to.
Okay. I just really feel like, can't we do better than this? I'm not even complaining about hanging, air fresheners on the hanger. I feel like that we can do just as fans of the show, like who's impressed with this, Taryn?
I would normally say that the cat ladies are all about making fun of Uncle Austin, but I don't even think they're on board with this.
I mean, okay, Uncle Austin, but how far down the road to nowhere do we have to go, like, to reach this lowest common denominator here? I mean, is this the lowest of the low we've ever sank here on Big Brother? With how many fart and poop jokes can we make in one episode? And they're not even, like, you know, my rule, I just feel like if you're going to go there with this, like, at least, like, let's, like, tell a good joke. If you're going to drag us into the sewer, at least have a reason for taking us down there instead of just going with, like, first grade joke book.
Yeah. And this is coming right off of, like, the toe stuff. And I mean, it's not super new, but it's certainly, I think, a new low. Although, have you seen those photos of the house guests that were released recently for what, like, Nude Picture Day?
Nude Picture Day, yeah, not Nude Picture Day Vaughn. No, I don't even know what's going on with that. That I don't even, is that Photoshop? Yeah. Is that they Photoshopped everybody naked?
I don't even. It's just, it's the strangest and most, like, unfortunate thing. Don't even look it up.
Yeah,
listeners.
I feel like isn't that a privacy issue of just like, we took a bunch of people who are game show contestants and we photoshopped their clothes off of them for something. But that being said, it's just that, I mean, really, I can't even describe this. I mean,
oh. It smells worse than a porta potty at the Jersey Shore after an all-you-can-eat wings competition. I mean, this thing is disgusting.
Oh, I mean, this smells like really bad. I can't even say that how bad this is. I mean, it's like you went into a porta potty after there was a food-eating competition. That's how bad it smells in here.
I love that. That your impression of it was actually better than the actual one, because it didn't have the fart noises behind it to make it so much worse.
I mean, what does this even mean?
I don't know what Uncle Austin's doing in that bathroom, but it sure smells like he opened up a big bucket of stink bait and he's about to go catfishing.
What?
I think what it means is that Austin did something to really piss them off, right? They're really continuing on this Austin is smelly joke.
And if we've already had the appearance of a Jody Peachy Keen air freshener this season. Why don't we bring back the Jody air fresheners?
Well, I mean, then they wouldn't be joking about how stinky it is, because she'd bright up the room.
I don't know. This was, it completely took me out of it. I felt like, oh, okay, this was, what a great first half hour of drama. And then we get to the roadkill. I know Tiffany is going to win. I'm like, oh, this is very exciting. And then just the whole thing. Like, I am not a prudish person. I like a good dirty joke as much as the next person. It's just that, the poop humor here was just, the juice was not worth the squeeze.
Gratuitous poop.
Yeah. Too much.
And it was much. Super long too. Like it was like a minute or two straight of just like stink jokes.
Yeah. We're better than that, people. We're better. Let's take a stand for something here in reality TV.
Like, does it matter?
All right. But that being said, Vanessa goes on. Sorry, Tiffany. Tiffany goes on to win. Tiffany wins the roadkill this week. And then she goes around, she's just telling everybody. Now, Taryn, wouldn't this be a great opportunity to really, especially that she's up on the block? Couldn't you really get a lot of backbiting going on here?
It's a tricky spot because there's kind of two ways you can play it. You can nominate somebody secretly and try to cause paranoia, but that doesn't have a huge percentage of working, I think. Or you can kind of go around and try to see if you can ascertain who's the person, if I put them up, that's going to have the most likely amount of like majority voters that are going to vote them out. So like who can I put up that's going to, sit next to me and be something like give me some chance of staying. And that's sort of what she had done, where she had talked to Devon earlier in the day, and Devon said, maybe we can get the votes to get Corey out. Maybe we can get James on our side. And so she was just kind of being like, hey, is Corey the right move here? And he kind of was. For a moment, it seemed like there was a possible chance that votes might be there for Corey.
Yeah. And so, all right, we'll get to more of that in terms of the live feeds and the reaction to it. I mean, do you feel like that there was a name that made more sense to you than Corey?
Well, basically, it was between Corey or Nicole, kind of, because like I said, they did, like, before she put Corey up, she had a conversation where she thought that she might have the votes there. And to the point where the other side, Paulie and them, were getting a little bit like, why does she think she has the votes? Like, this is kind of nerve-wracking. So at first it was Corey or Nicole, but the other option was Devon, because Devon has been so vocal and so out there with all of her strategy stuff. There's a chance that they can get the whole house to turn on Devon. So she was another person that was a possibility. But at the moment, she was, as I said, talking to Tiffany and saying, maybe I'm with you to get Corey out.
A lot of follow-up questions I have, but I can't really get into things without getting into the live feed stuff. But again, tell me if I'm treading into dangerous territory here. Do Frank and Bridget look at themselves as a three-person block with Tiffany?
I wouldn't say so. I think Frank sees himself with Bridget, and then he has Tiffany as sort of like a club.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that he's using to beat people with.
Okay. And how did Bridget ultimately react after? We saw her just for a moment on the episode. Has she gotten over everything with Bronte being voted out?
Yeah, Bridget was pretty funny to watch, actually, because like all the fights that were going on, she was literally just kind of like standing behind Frank and like following Frank around, like with a puppy dog face. Just mm-hmm. like, what just happened? Oh, man. And that was basically the extent of it. And then talking to Frank about like who did it, who betrayed us. And honestly, her perception on who the votes were was usually more accurate than Frank's was.
Yeah. We also saw a bit from James and Natalie tonight in terms of their reaction to all of this. Natalie ends up going up as the person who is the pawn this week. What was her reaction like to that?
She was very upset that Bronte left, to the point where it kind of caused a rift between her and James. because James was kind of like, well, now she's saying that she has nobody, but she has me. And that kind of makes me feel bad that she has nobody. They have since kind of like they've made up a bit. But yeah, it was really just like, honestly, I think losing Bronte was more of a hit than being nominated for Natalie.
Okay. All right, I want to jump into some of the questions here about the non-live feed things before we get into talking about the live feeds. One other thing, could you give us the diagnosis that certainly the first time around, Paulie, I felt like that he really abdicated to the will of the people in the first time around. The second time around, are you sensing the dreaded HOH-itis?
I'm not sensing it, Rob. It's washed over me. I'm drowning in it.
Drowning.
Yes.
In the HOH-itis.
He has completely gone off his rocker. I mean, it really started last week with wanting Tiffany out so bad, and it's completely continued into this week. He should not have won this HOH to begin with. And with it, he's brandishing this power with such a ludicrous amount of just like, hubris. It's absurd. He's talking about like this plan to get Tiffany out is like a Shakespeare play. And like it's just everything about what he's doing is really just embarrassing, to be honest.
Yeah. This was his reasoning for putting Tiffany up on the block.
My boy Corey's on the block. Not too happy about it, but at the end of the day, we're about to beast this veto competition and make sure that Tiffany gets herself to step in. Sorry, Tiff. Should have brought your own playbook into the house this year, not your sister's.
Oh, that was from the end of the episode. I apologize about that. Yeah, should have brought your own playbook this year.
Yeah, right after he quotes Mike Boogie.
Yes. Yes. Look, Tarrant, how could I quote a person that I don't even know is a person that exists in the house? So if I didn't even know who they are, then why don't you shut the F up?
Type thing.
Yeah. So yeah, he really got a good hate into Vanessa.
Yeah, it's really, really crazy. It's the amount of just like focus that he has on her. He's so determined to not look like a fool that like because of her, like he's very, very against changing this plan because he doesn't want to be like, you know, Tiffany was up on the block twice and then she comes down. Like if that turns around to bite me, like I am going to be so like, that's going to be the worst thing ever. And yeah. I think it's just all about that like he doesn't want to get played by, you know, he doesn't want it to look like, oh, so why did you trust Vanessa's sister of all people? Like, what a dumb move.
When in reality, his brother got duped by Derek and they still don't know it. Derek didn't trick anybody over here that my brother wanted to go to the end with Derek.
I do believe that he said Derek told him if he was in the house with Vanessa to get Vanessa out first. So he is still playing Derek's game to some extent.
Derek is going to cost the Cali Furies two different seasons of Big Brother.
I'm still smelling Uncle Austin's bathroom blow up.
Yeah, and the thing about Uncle Austin is that he was in an alliance with Vanessa. So if he's working with Vanessa in this season, that's all the more reason to get Tiffany out of the house.
That's all there is to it.
Yeah. All right, let's get into some questions here. And this is from Byron Hussey wants to say, are you turned around on Frank now that we know he isn't the devil? Here's the thing. Like, I never said that I hate Frank. I don't think so. Look, I root for the season to be unpredictable and fun. So when Frank was in charge and Frank was really calling all the shots and getting too big for his britches, I rooted against Frank. Now that there are other people that have gotten too big for their britches and they're coming down on Frank, and Frank hopefully may have been humbled a bit from earlier in the season when he felt like that he was God's gift to Big Brother 18, then I can root for Frank. That I never hated Frank.
Yeah, as I've said, I've never been a huge fan of Frank. I don't like how bitter he is about nearly everything that happens in the game. When he's talking about Big Brother 14, it's you know, it's very difficult to listen. It's so bad. But that doesn't mean that, like, if he starts playing a good game, I'm not going to talk about him playing a good game. Not that he's playing a good game yet, but he is playing a game where he is on the other side of a big group of people, and I want to see him smash it. And so I'm going to be rooting for him to do that, even though he's not, you know, my favorite character on the show.
Yeah, I really don't have a rooting interest in this season. I'm just looking for a chaotic, fun season to podcast about. And so if Frank's down, I'm going to root for him to be up. If he's up, I'm probably going to root for him to be down. That's how it goes.
Exactly. Like if Jose had survived that first week, or if Jose gets back into the house, I'm sure we're all going to be rooting for Jose as long as he's actually fighting.
Yeah. Okay. Let's keep going. Gregory McBean wants to ask, do you think that this will be the last week of the roadkill enter the team's twist since the battle back is this week? Now, of course, this Friday night, we're going to see one of these five evicted house guests get back into the house. Taryn, do you presume that once we get somebody back into the house, that's going to be the end of the twists?
I am going to assume that it's going to be the end of teams for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I would predict that the roadkill is going to be here to stay for a little bit longer.
Okay. Now look, the roadkill, I said this the other night, I don't think that the roadkill has been a disaster by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, I mean, when I talked about the twist in the beginning of the game, I said, you know, it's the kind of thing that has the potential to create great moments, and it has the potential to not ruin the game as long as there wasn't somebody who was so good at the game that they could sort of abuse this twist. And I don't think we're seeing that. I think we're seeing a very, very level playing field of nobody. Nobody's too great right now in the season. And so because of that, we're seeing a lot of chaos, and the twist isn't really stopping that from happening.
Okay. Then this is from Ram 010992. Power ranking for Paul's catchphrase, friendship, pissed, and your boy. Does he say pissed that much?
I think it might have been somebody else, was just talking about how she likes the way he says pissed.
How does he say it?
I couldn't do it. He just says like the weird.
Does he say it like the token jeans sand? I'm pissed.
No, it's more like I can't even do it. It's just he says it in a weird kind of way. He doesn't say it nearly as much as friendship though. And friendship is really starting to get like bad. Like when he's talking about friendship in the roadkill competition, he's like, the smell in that RV was not friendship. It's just like, oh man, you really got to stop here. Mm-hmm. And he even said your boy too. He was like, the smell in that RV was not friendship for your boy. It's like, no, stop, please.
Yeah, I didn't pull the clip on this one, but yeah, the Corey also, the like, oh boy, Austin, really, we could use a courtesy flush here. That was also very regrettable.
Yeah, I can't imagine being the editors and thinking like, oh, we have so much gold here. We can't cut anybody's little line. Like,
mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, but who is the person watching all this play? I'm like, damn, I love Big Brother. BB, you did it again. You nailed it.
I think there were some like 12-year-old boys who were like, yeah.
Okay. All right. Logan Elliott says, can this Frank / Tiffany alliance work, or are their days numbered? I mean, Taryn, do you see potential in this? And is there a Big Brother precedent that you would point to?
Honestly, if I was going to point to a precedent, I would say Dan and Frank. Even if Tiffany does manage to stay, I think they will turn on each other pretty quickly in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think that they were sort of like open about it, where it's like, yeah, and you know, you're kind of a cocky a-hole too. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Like their personalities don't mesh. It's just like they're stuck together because of circumstance.
Yeah, no, but I like that. That's what's fun about that. Jacob Brabant says, so was it Uncle Austin that smelled up the RV or Uncle Judas? That's a good question.
I mean, didn't we learn that Judas was Austin all along?
Wait, hold on a second. Are you saying that the whole time that Judas and Austin were switching out and they were actually the same person in the house all summer?
Yes, that was the twist. You don't remember that?
Yeah.
It was just a top hat the whole time. That was his disguise.
Austin, you'll always be Judas to me. And let's see one more question and we'll get into the live feeds. This is from Coach's Beard. Oh, shout out to Coach's Beard. Would you like a team twist better if, like Survivor, they swap during the game? Taryn, would it make any difference for you if they had a week where they twisted up who was on what teams?
No. I appreciate the effort, but just like, that would just make it even more confusing. Like, I watch the feeds 24/7. I still, like, it would take me probably 2 minutes to like, figure out in my head who's on what team, just because, like, it's just so absurd and they're so arbitrary.
Yeah.
It would just make it even more arbitrary.
Okay. All right. So let's go ahead and start to move into our feed portion of the program. We've got a very busy week coming up here in our Big Brother coverage. Scheduled to talk with AJ Mass early this week as well. We go through the 13 archetypes of BB18. Yes, there's only 12 people in the house currently, but we've got somebody coming back into the house this Friday night with the battle pack. So technically, I'd say we have 13 active slots in the game. So I'll be talking with AJ Mass. Plus, we're going to have our live coverage Wednesday night and Thursday night. Plus, we'll have a bonus live episode this Friday night after the battle back transpires. So we will be there live. I believe it's going to be at 9:15 p.m. Eastern time, based on, I haven't looked at the schedule for when that battle back episode is going to be on. I'm presuming it's going to be on at 8 p.m. Eastern, whatever time it is, we'll be on right after the show to talk about who, and by who I mean Glenn, when Glenn returns to the Big Brother house on this magical Friday night. So a very big Big Brother week. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast to get all of that. Plus, don't forget reality TV happy hour this Monday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on robhiswebsite.com with Jordan Parhar. Okay, so let's get into everything that happened over the weekend in spoilers.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Okay. All right, let's get into the spoilers from the weekend, Taryn. And again, good weekend on the feeds, right?
Yeah, yeah. Tiffany has not been quiet and has not been laying down quietly. Yes. So
that's good. That's good. I don't know if it's good for her game.
I'm silly girl.
Yeah. But
very silly.
Very silly. Very silly weekend. But she's everywhere. She's everywhere.
Yeah. With Corey up on the block, they played the veto. And Tiffany really needed to win this one, but Corey won the veto.
Hmm.
So there goes the plans of taking out Corey with the Devon contingent.
Yes, after a montage today of a bunch of people saying like, "Hell yeah, Corey sucks at competitions. He's really terrible at competitions."
Yep. So Corey finally wins one, and he's been talking a lot of crap. Like, he refused to believe that Tiffany had won the roadkill. I think he still might refuse to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, she couldn't possibly win that competition. No way. But he does finally back himself up a little bit by winning this veto. And there was some brief talk about him taking himself or not taking himself up off the block because people were afraid, or Nicole was afraid, that she would gonna go up in his place. And Nicole had her whole little freak out about, like, "Oh my God, Corey's so mad at me because I suggested maybe that he not, he like, oh my God, he's so mad at me now." And she like finally talked to him and he was like, what are you talking about?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So we 100% will expect Corey to use the veto on Monday, right?
Yes, he will be using the veto. And in his place, Tiffany will be putting up Devon.
Okay. All right. Well, this is interesting. And so, Taryn, why don't you talk us through the events of from what we saw in the episode to where we get to this? I mean, were there more conversations had between Tiffany and Devon about this?
It's a bit of a crazy ride. So basically, you know, Tiff, as I said, Tiffany and Devon had kind of talked about, you know, having the votes to get Corey out to some extent. James had been talking about a little bit. He might be willing to vote Corey out. But once Corey won the veto, Devon started crying immediately after the veto competition because she didn't win. And people were kind of like freaked out about this, like sketched out, like why was Devon crying? And this is the part where Tiffany just kind of went, okay, you know, Devon is clearly not going to be on my side anymore to get somebody out. And she still did, you know, totally turn on me. So she decided like, okay, like I need to flip this script on Devon now. And Devon, you know, was not handling Tiffany properly, did not have the baby gloves on. So Tiffany has gone on a total anti-Devon campaign ever since the veto happened. She finally told Frank about the Fatal Five Alliance and said that Devon is the one that started it. She has now gone up to Polly and talked to Polly about like, hey, listen, and this was just today. She said, I'm going to come completely clean. I'm going to tell you everything that happened. There's one person that's been screwing me over the entire game, and that's Devon, and this is how. And she laid it all out. And Polly was like, afterward was like, yeah, I mean, I still want Tiffany out, but everything she said checks out and nothing Devon says checks out. So I might be okay with Devon leaving this week, but I still want Tiffany out first.
Yeah.
So, because I really think he doesn't want to let her survive the block because he doesn't want to like give her that like agency.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing personal. There's just a lot of similarities to your game and your sister's. That's a dangerous person to have in this game.
Yeah. Nothing personal, but this is completely personal about who your sister is. Yeah. So for Tiffany, though, she did such a good job last week of just staying calm, not really freaking out, that she's gone 180 degrees the opposite direction. Does this have a chance to work?
It really does. You know, she kind of has Corey on board. When Corey was talking to Polly after Tiffany's conversation with Polly, Polly was pushing for it. He was saying, you know, I really think maybe we should get Day out first. And this is a serious consideration where before she was completely drawing dead. So, you know, this isn't the route that I would usually advocate for, but she did do the calm thing last week and she just barely managed to survive. And then it was like, well, we're never letting that work again. So she kind of had to try something else. So I really can't fault her too much. And again, this is probably the closest she's gotten to being safe since this week started. So it's kind of working.
Okay, so if we're going to have Day and Tiff on the block with Natalie, is anybody going to vote to evict Natalie?
No.
Okay, all right. So can we just count through the votes real quick? So Frank and Bridget will vote to evict Devon, right?
Yep.
Okay. What are Nicole and Corey going to do?
They will decide, I imagine, will decide with Polly ultimately what they want to do. So currently it's still Tiffany. But if Polly decides to change and Corey is trying to get Polly to change, they might flip to Devon.
So there's like this whole middle group with Nicole, Corey, Paul that are just going to ultimately move into whatever direction Polly wants them to vote in.
Basically. Yeah.
Okay. Will Zakiya, will she hold loyal to Devon?
Probably not. They've kind of drifted apart for a while. So,
oh no.
I mean, like, she, like maybe she would give her a sympathy vote, but you know, if Polly is on board with taking Devon out, I think Zakiya will fall in line.
And James is part of this big middle group as well.
James is kind of just, he keeps isolating himself further and further with Natalie. I think his priorities are really starting to shift. He was kind of on board with maybe taking a shot at Corey just because Tiffany and Devon were pushing this whole Showman's Alliance thing. And he was like, they were like, you know, you're on the outside of this. So James is still kind of a wild card. He's not really in on this plan yet at all. He might end up doing whatever he wants to do. He might follow the crowd. It's still up in the air.
Yeah. Boy, if Davon was to go out on Friday, I mean, and really Tiffany as well, it really seems like completely wide open with this battle back on Friday. It really could go any number of ways. I mean, you have people who are probably more of the competition beasts who are more like in the middle. It's not like where if it was going to be a week where Frank was going out, it's like, okay, Frank just has to win this one challenge. I mean, it'll really depend on what the challenges are, but it's going to be pretty wild.
Yeah, if Tiffany is the one that goes out here, I think she has, I mean, obviously the person that comes out the last week is going to have the best chance of getting back in. But I think if Davon goes, I don't think she's won a single competition in her entire Big Brother career. So
I don't think so.
I don't think her chances are too great, even though she's in the best seeded spot for that this big battle back tournament.
Okay. Pretty big. Okay, so what do we need to be on the watch for these next 4 days before we get to the vote on Thursday?
In this conversation that Polly had with Tiffany, Polly encouraged Tiffany to call Davon out on everything that was happening, sort of in front of the house, like, let's do this, get it all out there. And Tiffany was receptive to the idea. Polly has said, like, I still want Tiffany out first, but I'm willing to keep my mind open, see how Davon reacts to all of this stuff when she gets put on the block and all that. So I think we have to look out for how is Davon going to react? What is Polly going to think about how she's reacting, and how, like, what is that group going to be thinking moving forward? And we're also having Frank continuing to try to get him, weasel him his way back into the majority. He's been talking with Corey and Polly, like, hey guys, isn't it great that we're like three buds again? Talking about if we want Davon or Tiffany out. He's been pushing way too hard to get Davon out over Tiffany, but that's another story.
But did Frank ever say to the guys, because I feel like that we have this evidence now, okay, that it's been presented to Frank that, okay, your boys have been trying really hard to get you out of the house. Does he ever say to them, like, hey, what gives? What did I ever do to you guys?
He's kind of just like, guy, like, I know you didn't vote for this. I know you didn't vote for Tiffany to go. I mean, they just still like deny it for the most part. Like, he was just talking to Nicole, and he's trying to get back in with Nicole and Corey, in the same way that he's trying to get back in with Polly and Corey. And he's starting to get back there. You know, this is a position that he works best in, and he's saying to her, like, listen, I know you didn't vote with me. It's okay. Like, we can move forward from this point. So there really wasn't a whole lot of confrontation after he kind of figured out that nobody was on his side.
Yeah, he's just like, classic Polly.
Yeah, basically.
Trying to get me out, that guy. What a piece of work. All right, let's jump back into some questions, and then anything else we can talk through along the way. Brent Showerman has a live feed question. Can you talk about the past few days for Nicole? Seems like it's been a bit of a roller coaster. Anything about Nicole that you want to add to?
What is going on?
Yeah,
that sound clip is a perfect example of the last few days for Nicole. I mean, that's really her whole game. She's in a great spot, but continues to freak out over a lot of things here and there, like, oh my God, I'm going to go on the block. This is the worst thing ever. Oh my God, Corey's mad at me. This is the worst thing ever. It seems like those are her two biggest fears, and those kind of like dominate every waking thought.
Yeah. It does seem that Nicole is eternally confused in the Big Brother house about the state of affairs, and any like direct question to her is always like, wait, what? What are you talking about?
What is going on?
Yeah.
Oh. Why'd you say that to me?
Why?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah. That's Nicole.
Yeah. She really doesn't ever have a straight answer about anything.
And she's not, I mean, she managed to fool Frank, but Frank seems to be one of the only people that she's capable of fooling. she's not particularly good at it with other people.
I mean, it's kind of a good strategy just to always be confused about everything that's going on, whether or not she's like lying. It's like either, but like maybe that's just like her go-to. I guess that's probably her tell, right?
Oh, yeah. And actually, Alex just tweeted like, whenever Nicole is lying, she starts swearing by saying like, Oh, freaking heck. Oh, God.
Just gets me so freaking mad when people do that.
Yeah.
What so the freaking hell?
Another one of the tells.
All right. Stephen Hooker says, can you talk about the Pauly Tiffany fight that happened when the feeds cut?
I mean, I can't talk too much about it because the feeds were cut. Apparently, there was some kind of house meeting sort of thing, type thing, where they really got into it. And Frank talked afterward about how he was like, oh, Pauly came off looking really bad in that. He's going to be looked at as a bully. America's going to hate him. And immediately after, Pauly was like talking to himself, saying like, oh, who does she think she is? She thinks I've won so many competitions. She can't intimidate me. Like apparently something went down. Hopefully we'll see it on the episode. But it was mostly just, you know, Tiffany calling Pauly out for the stuff that Tiffany calls people out for.
Yeah. But this was prior to the conversation that they had today about working together, correct?
Yeah. This was, I think, either yesterday or the day before.
Yeah.
Maybe yesterday.
So what's Davon's strategy here? Is Davon just deny and just like really pushing to get Tiffany, like just like really drag Tiffany's name through the mud?
Honestly, I think Davon has to come clean at this point. Tiffany, very much like Vanessa, has a very good memory when it comes to conversations, and she's able to pull up a lot of details. I don't think that Davon is going to be able to convince anybody that Tiffany's lying at this point. I think that she just has to come clean and say, I was doing this. It was stupid of me to do, but she's obviously the better player. We can't let her get out of another week in a row. You know, I'm in your debt. And Davon always pays her debts. And
it's a Lannister.
Yeah, that's kind of what she has to do.
Then Dylan Galt says, why not nominate Nicole with the roadkill and get Paul's vote? Help me at Rob's sister. You're my only hope. Did they just feel like that they did not have the votes to send Nicole home? I believe it was you on the last Happy Hour that said that you felt like Corey was in a worse spot than Nicole because you felt like that he was somebody that people would want to hurt Nicole by getting him out of the house, but maybe didn't have the will to be able to vote out Nicole at this point in time.
Yeah, that's basically it. Like, even people like Davon are not super willing to pull the trigger on Nicole. She wants Corey out so that she can get Nicole back. Mm-hmm. I think Nicole is somebody that she wants to, she's another woman. She's another returning player. There's a lot of reasons to work with Nicole that Davon doesn't see to work with Corey, because Davon really does see things sort of black and white. She sees Corey as this big physical threat. She's like, why would I ever go to the end with someone like Corey? I'd much rather go to the end with somebody like Nicole. And so I think that, I mean, obviously she's still very threatened by Nicole, but she wants to, again, cut her off at the knees by taking Corey out first. And I don't think there's as much, pressure to get rid of Nicole.
The penultimate stop in the chat room wants to ask the question, are we calling this a bad move because Pauly didn't want to win HOH? So, Taryn, just go back to that. We saw in the episode Pauly say, like, oh, I did not want to win that HOH. So, what was he trying to throw it? Did he forget that he didn't want it?
I think the plan was going in that he was going to stay in the competition until Frank went out. And since Frank never went out, he ended up winning it. But that, just, again, like, that's such a terrible plan in my eyes, because if Frank wins it, for him, it doesn't matter. Frank can't go after him. He is completely safe. If Frank wins, he's probably going to go after somebody like Tiffany or Davon for him. And he doesn't have to get his hands dirty. He doesn't have to be the one to set Tiffany off. And now Tiffany's, you know, ruining his entire game by spilling all these secrets. Instead, he has Frank doing it for him, being the bad guy. So, like, that's the worst case scenario that he was trying to avoid. Like, this is the worst case scenario. Him having to be in this position, him having to continue to be in this superpower, I'm going to force my will on the house position. It's not a good look, and he should not have won the competition. He should have been trying to get him wrong from the very start.
Okay. Big Brother underscore BB18, did you guys think that Frank will always be the other side's target, or will he find a way to get back in the good graces with them? So let's just play this out both ways this week. So hypothetically speaking, let's say that the plan to get Davon out of the house happens and Davon goes out, which cannot happen unless the bigger middle part of the house ends up voting alongside Frank and Tiffany. Who do you think is the target then after that, if that situation goes down? Is it back to Frank?
It will probably be back to Frank. Depending on who wins, you know, somebody like Nicole or Corey might decide maybe we want to keep Frank in, maybe we want Tiffany out instead. You know, Tiffany's still a big target. Or maybe this person that comes back in the battle back, depending on who that is, maybe they want that person out instead. But the next target is still probably going to be some combination of Frank, Bridget, Tiffany, and or battle back person.
Let me just ask you for the position of, hypothetically, somebody like me who doesn't have a strong rooting interest in any one person, who is just rooting for the best TV. Should I be hoping for Tiffany or Davon to go out this week?
I think probably Davon.
I think so, too. I like Davon. She's fun. Seems like a great personality, but I feel like that, what does she have? She has almost no political capital in this game. And I think that Tiffany is so much of a wild card that really anything is possible with her still in the house, where I feel like that Davon is probably, what is she going to pull off the rest of the season?
Yeah, we saw Davon last season in her week that she got evicted, didn't really do too much to fight on her way out. You know, she tried a little bit, but really underutilized a lot of the things that she had going in her favor. Whereas we've seen Tiffany go balls to the wall this whole week. And I think that if you're looking for good TV, this kind of player is the one that you're going to be looking for.
Yeah, anything is possible with Tiffany still in the house. And I just feel like that Davon, who seems awesome, but it just seems like probably would be, let's get her as a podcast guest in the second half of the season when she's not on the jury, as opposed to having her in the house the rest of the way.
Yeah. And, okay. And we can see what she says on Twitter all season.
Yeah, that'd be fun. And she'll do Periscope. So it'll be good. All right. Let's keep going with some of these questions. Michael GM, will ousting Bronte over Tiffany go down as one of the dumbest and most pointless moves in Big Brother history? Boy, that sounds like a podcast coming up in February on Reality TV Happy Hour. No.
Sure, but I mean, I don't think there's much discussion there. I don't think it was the dumbest move ever. It wasn't. Here's the thing: the move itself was almost the right move. It's just the way they went about it that was really dumb. They waited until the last second. They didn't loop Tiffany in on any of it. They tried to split the vote and lie about it to Frank. They then treated Tiffany terribly immediately following the vote. You know, letting her know that they didn't care about her at all. So like all of those factors are why Tiffany eventually spilled all of their secrets. So I don't think it was the move itself so much as the way they went about it. It was terrible.
A little bit of a non sequitur. Tarrant, who is the best player in Big Brother 18?
That's really tough. I think Zakiya is very good. I think that just because she's able to kind of stay out of a lot of the danger that's happening, I think she's going to have trouble, you know, kind of owning her own game and like really becoming a respected player. But she's somebody that I think is going to continue to go far in the game. And really, you know, Pauly was doing well, but he's totally crashed. I think Michelle is doing really well. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's actually something that I should point out. Michelle has, you know, as we know, Davon, and this is kind of the biggest cause of Davon's problems, is this whole Showman's Alliance that she was a part of that she didn't want to be a part of. And she opened her mouth. She told everybody about it. And this is a great spot to be in, is in an alliance with two Showmances, because they're huge targets out in front of you. You can ride them all the way down to the end. Even if they don't get picked off ahead of time, if you make it to Final Five, they're going to target each other first. You're the person most likely to make it to the end there. So it's a great spot to be in. And Davon didn't want it. Michelle was like, hey, Davon, you don't want this? All right. Hey, Corey. Hey, Pauly. How's it going? Maybe I can be the fifth wheel here. And she's totally sniping the spot, trying to be the fifth person in this alliance. And it's kind of working. Corey trusts her a lot. Pauly is trusting her a lot. They're kind of looping her in. So I think that if Michelle is successful here, and is able to ride these two showmances, then she's probably one of the better players in the house and will make it pretty far.
Not unlike Ian Terry in the Quack Pack, no? Not necessarily showmances, but pairs?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. That position is a very good one to be in. I don't like it when Dan is one of the people in the alliance. Because
right, right.
Yeah.
But still, it even was ended up working out okay for Ian. Okay, right. Interesting. And then just to go back to, okay, so Zakiya and Big Meesh, you said that they might be the best people in the house. But on a scale of 1 to 10, where 10 is Dan slash Dr. Will, maybe Derek, if you want to say, is a 10. Then a 1 is Jose. Where is Zakiya on that scale as the best player?
I think we're probably looking at like 6s right now, with the potential to improve as the season goes on.
Okay. So really, you know, anything could happen the rest of this way. It's going to
Yeah, very much so.
Okay.
It's a very even playing field.
I just want to, you know, put everything in perspective with what we're talking about here this season. So a couple more questions with Taryn. BB fan, the homie. We didn't get a lot of Paul tonight. Is he falling off people's radar by his own doing, or would that be giving him too much credit? Okay. Talk about Paul a little bit, because we did not see him a ton tonight. First off, I got to say, he's losing me with the Raleigh Fingers mustache. I'm not loving the twirly mustache he's adding to this look.
Paul is great as an underdog, but he's slowly becoming not an underdog. Those little things that he does are just starting to grate on you. And even in the game, he has like a whiff of power, and he's getting a little crazy with it. He's going back and forth between Frank and Tiffany and Paulie and Corey, and being like, "I'm a spy. I'm going to tell you all the information." And it's kind of obvious. He's trying to play the Andy game, sort of what Michelle was doing earlier, but I don't see it working for very long. He's very, again, like very obvious about it. And the whole friendship thing, as we talked about, is just like over the top. Just too much. Just chill out a little bit.
Yeah. Boy, my prediction on Paul was that he was going to be on the outs, and then he was going to earn his way back into people's good graces. And then ultimately, then everybody was going to just like not trust him and going to go out before the jury. So we'll see if maybe if there's enough time for that to happen. I hope we can get him back on the right track. But concern, that's the role of the charismatic wild card.
Yeah. And James is now like sort of on to Paul. James is like, why are we leaving Paul in the game right now? He is a chameleon. Like, we need to get rid of Paul. Nobody's listening to him at the moment, but I definitely could see this kind of gaining momentum in the future.
I don't know what Uncle Austin's doing in that bathroom.
Yeah. Okay. Chris from SoCal, which vet is doing the best job of changing their narrative from last time? Will we see Nicole on the block with her showmance during the first double eviction, just like 2 years ago? Oh, whoa.
It's very possible, honestly.
Why? I think,
yeah, people are very very tempted to pull that trigger on Paul, on Corey. I don't think it will be the same scenario, though. I think that Nicole has been playing in more of a power position throughout the game than she did last time. Where last season, she made the power move and was immediately, you know, thwarted by Derek, and then immediately put up on the block. Whereas this time she is in a much more powerful position to begin with and playing very scared. So almost the opposite completely. So I would say Nicole's is the one that has deviated the most.
Okay, let's do one more question. This is from Sino Chick. When Vanessa finished second in her season, which I believe it was third now, Cody finished second in his season. Do you think that Tiffany will point out to the other house guests in order to squash the Vanessa is her sister argument from Paulie? Well, is that a card that Tiffany could play, that Cody actually did better than Vanessa in Big Brother?
I don't think so. Just, you know, Vanessa has a reputation that Cody doesn't. And we talked about this preseason that, you know, Paulie is not going to be harmed by his Cody connection in the same way that Tiffany will be. And so I think if she points that out, it will just serve to anger Paulie and remind people that, oh yeah, you're Vanessa's sister and he's Cody's brother.
Taryn, is it a thing, though, for Paulie that he gets mad that everybody talks about what a good player Vanessa is, and there is not a lot of chatter about what a good player Cody is?
I'm sure. I mean, he talks about Big Brother 16 all the time. He talks up his brother's game. And I think we've kind of talked about this before, but like, he wants to bring honor to the Calafiori name. And I think that's
my brother Cody
part of. Yeah, I think that's maybe another part of why he's so anxious to get Tiffany out, is that he's like, no, only I can bring honor to my family's name. Like, you're going to bring dishonor to your family's name.
Yeah. All right. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. All right. I want to start to source the chat room for some ideas for the hashtag for tonight. Taryn, you have any nominees?
I did, but maybe like... gratuitous poop.
No, let's make hashtags great again. Let's not, we don't need to bring, you don't need to always go to the scatological. Any idiots can do that. We can do better. Yeah. How about that? That's a hashtag. We can do better. How about that? Let's take a stand here.
Issues that matter.
Yes. Yes. Let's take a stand here. All right. So very fun to talk this all through with you, Taryn, as usual. Always look forward to doing this. And so we're going to be back with our next live Big Brother show this Wednesday night, 9:15 p.m. Eastern. And then again, after the eviction, this Thursday night, 10:15, when we find out that last person who's going to be in the battle back. And then again, Friday. So really, we'll be live Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, all three nights in a row here on a jam-packed BB18 week. Plus, we will have AJ Mass on the podcast this week to talk about the archetypes. Of course, news AF as well. And don't forget about the Reality TV Happy Hour live tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Taryn, anything else?
No, I think I'm good. I think this was a... Fun podcast.
Okay, follow Taryn on Twitter. He's at Armstrong Taryn. Thanks so much to Alex Kidwell filling in for Scott St. Pierre tonight on pulling your questions. And always love to hear what you guys have to say in the comments. Looking forward to hearing what you have to say on robhasawebsite.com. Take care, everybody. Have a great night.